The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, so you want to do what? You're interested in selling these dogs?
I'm interested in selling two dogs I have. One is a Rottweiler, the other is a pit bull. I will sell them to the highest bidder. I can't keep the animals on my property since we live close to a pretty populated area, and they make a very good dog for a business. But the animals, I was told by my brother-in-law to get rid of one of them. They're very good dogs. They're not like most dogs, or most dogs are not protective of themselves. These dogs are not going to just let anyone pet them, which I think is smart. And I know of a couple of people in business which they've had their dogs poisoned by individuals trying to gain access to the business property. So my dogs are smart, and they're not going to let it happen. My brother-in-law told me to get rid of them.
Why did your brother-in-law tell you to get rid of these dogs? And if you're, are you outside or something?
It's a little bit windy right now. Yeah, I'm.
Where are you located, sir?
Yeah, I'm up in Mojave, Phil.
You're out in the desert, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm probably about, about 90 miles north of L.A. And
why did your brother-in-law tell you this?
Well, this is what I'm trying to say. He was horsing around with them, and he was throwing a stick and that kind of thing at some point. And an intelligent animal is going to know that you're mistreating them. And so one of them, Molly, who's the female, bit him on the leg because he was mistreating her. And
what was he doing to her?
Well, do you know about dogs? Do you have dogs?
Right, I don't have any dogs, no. I've had dogs.
What kind of dogs have you had? If you don't mind me asking.
Well, I don't know. I've had mutts. I had a German Shepherd, a couple of retrievers, that kind of deal.
Well, those are good dogs. They're not as intelligent or as protective as a Rottweiler or a Pitbull.
But what was your brother-in-law doing to the dogs?
Understand, at some point the animal knows you're mistreating them. I mean, he was throwing this stick, and that's a sign to any intelligent animal, any dog owner will tell you that you think they're stupid. So Molly, the female, got a hold of his leg until I called her off. So he's the one who said I need to get rid of him, and I wouldn't do it, but he's basically my landlord because I rent the house behind his.
Well, who's going to take the animal with a history of biting? See, I've got one rule, personally. The minute an animal of mine bites somebody that they shouldn't, I get rid of them.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. But all animals are different. If you mistreat an animal, my pit bull, Sugar is the name of the male. He's a very sweet animal, but you can't mistreat him.
And but this is what I'm saying. What do you mean by mistreat?
Well, the pit bull went after some kids two weeks ago. That was they were mistreating him. He's a very friendly animal to anyone that's friendly to him. But these kids were coming by the south end of my property, which is where he sleeps. We have the food bowls out there. And they were laughing at him and pointing at him and making fun of him. And that's when one of these kids, whose father's a lawyer, by the way, so I'm not clear as whether this was a set-up job or not. Sugar got a hold of one of these kids, and he had a hold of their leg, and then I come out and I called him off. And the dad of this kid, who's a lawyer, told me I had to get rid of it or he would file a complaint with the Kern County District Attorney. And all I want to know are what are my rights as an animal owner when it comes to that.
Well, everything you're telling me is that these two animals took off after a couple of people and I'm just trying to check my time here, and bit these people.
No, I know that.
And one, your brother-in-law, and the other, a neighbor kid, and the animals you describe have been known to cause serious injury. Rottweilers and pit bulls?
No, I know that, but that's not my dogs. People who own guard dogs, intelligent dogs, have been just put upon by law enforcement for a number of years. I mean, my neighbors think they can call a sheriff on me anytime they want, and as a dog owner, I want to know what my rights are. I mean, Molly, who's the female, bit my brother-in-law, and the pit bull, the kid was laughing at him and not giving the animal any respect like any dog would want, and the animal did what is natural to any animal that's being laughed at or is being called names.
And the kids were calling the dogs names.
Yes, sir. And they called him, they called him stupid, and they said he looked like a trash hound and all of this. And I just got a hold of one of the kids. He got a hold of one of the kids, and I told the kid's father, who's the lawyer, I said, that if I hadn't come out when I did, Sugar would have ripped that kid's throat out. And that is the God's honest truth. And I come out, I save him, and yet he wants to sue me. So I don't believe that dog owners have no rights, which is what I was telling the man who answered the phone.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I got the phone number out on my show if people want to comment on this, sir.
That's fine with me, but my main point is I want somebody to call the Kern County District Attorney for me. Because
I don't know. We can look into that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. In one instance, your dog, the Rottweiler, bit your brother-in-law, and another one bit a neighborhood kid. But these animals were being mistreated.
They were absolutely being mystery. My brother-in-law was throwing this stick. But
people will throw sticks to dogs.
People will throw sticks to dogs. But a very intelligent animal like a Rottweiler is offended by you throwing a stick on account of it's way smart. You don't throw... A Rottweiler is not an animal that's going to go fetch a stick. And when you throw a stick to a Rottweiler, the Rottweiler knows that you're... And I can't believe I'm having to explain this, because anybody that owns a dog or owns these kind of dogs knows what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't own a Rottweiler. I don't know, okay?
Well, the Rottweiler, Mr. Henry, first of all, is a German, and it's a German breed of dog. It's got a very stocky body. It's short fur. It has kind of tan facial markings on it. And is a very intelligent animal, very good guard dog. It's a very tough dog. But it's not like if you own... say a Chihuahua or something. And
no, I get it. It's not a fetch dog.
It's not that kind of dog. And you start throwing sticks at it, and it will, after a while, become, and dogs will become, I guess, say, they will get a temper on them because they feel like you're being condescending to them. Like, you think I'm just some stick fetching dog. And I'm sure that what Molly did, who's the female that bit my brother-in-law, she probably wanted to send a message loud and clear to him that I am not going to go fetch your dog. And understand that these animals have pounds per square inch from their jaw muscles, around 1,000 pounds per square inch. So,
and I understand they're powerful animals.
Yes, they are. And when Molly got off of my brother-in-law, he had a couple of puncture wounds. She, like I said, she could have taken his heart out of his chest. And I'm not kidding you. And the fact he just had a couple of puncture wounds, it shows that they're not bad animals. Now, the Kern County DA says I got to get rid of these dogs. And I think my constitutional rights as to dog ownership may be threatened on a number of different levels.
Have you called an attorney?
I called this guy... who's a friend of mine, is his lawyer. I called him up, and he's going to call me back, but I haven't heard from him. And I guess I'm just saying, at what point do my rights come in and the rights of the dogs when it comes to them being laughed at or anything like that?
You keep bringing up this term laughed at or made fun of as if the animals were, the kids were laughing.
Yeah, well, see that... The animal knows that he's being mocked. He doesn't know that he's being laughed at, but he knows he's being mocked.
He doesn't recognize human laughter.
He doesn't recognize human laughter, no. But he recognizes that it's being insulting to them.
Okay, all right. And the throwing of the stick.
Yeah, again, you throw a stick at the wrong dog, and the dog... is saying to himself, or it's not saying to himself, but the dog's saying, do you think I'm just some dog that catches sticks? Man, mister, you've just, you know, you made a big mistake. And that's when the female went after my Stan is my brother-in-law.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bethany, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Austin Amarca.
Yes, I wanted to comment on this dog owner.
Yes, ma'am.
Personally, I do not believe that dogs know the difference between respect and disrespect. They are an animal. Obviously, they probably know when they're being mistreated, and they're going to lash back at the person who would mistreat them. But unfortunately, as a dog owner, this man is responsible for his dog's actions. So if people are being injured, his family or other people, unfortunately, that is his responsibility to keep that from happening.
Mr. Amarca?
Well, I don't disagree with the lady. See, that's what I was saying. A dog doesn't know that he's being laughed at, but he does know if he's being mistreated. And when you throw a stick and say, go fetch the stick to a Rottweiler, which is a German animal of great powerful build and a very discerning animal, you're basically telling him he's nothing more than a trash hound to go fetch a stick. And that's why he took off after my brother-in-law. And the other one, the male Sugar, who's my pit bull, these kids was coming down the street and laughing at him, calling him a trash hound. And there's only so much of that you're going to be able to take.
Well, I can understand that, sir, but if your animal ripped the throat out of a children passing by laughing at him or throwing sticks...
Well, no, he didn't do that.
That is going to come back on you.
Absolutely, ma'am, but he didn't do that. He simply clamped his jaws around that boy's leg.
Well, the kid was injured. The boy had to be treated.
Well, yes, sir, but the reason why I made the point the lady's bringing up, if he wanted to, all I'd have to do is just snap my fingers or whistle, he would have taken the heart right out of that kid's chest. But he didn't.
But, sir, what about the next time that you're not around? How many people will be injured if you're not around to call off your dog?
Okay, that's a good point. And that's why I'm on. Called up the DA in Kern County, and that's why I also called this guy that my friend knows. Because you can't disrespect these animals. They're going to get angry just like anybody else.
Understandable. I mean,
okay.
I think you definitely need to look into your rights as a pet owner.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
If people are on your property, sticking their hands through your fence, obviously, as an owner, you're taking the responsibility.
Can I ask
having
the caller,
your animal fence.
Bethany, are you a dog owner? Are you a Rottweiler owner, a pit bull owner, one of those? I think there's a difference between being just a dog owner and somebody who owns these kinds of dogs.
No, I do not. I actually do not own a dog.
Oh, yeah.
I have owned a dog in the past, a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
But I do not fear Rottweilers personally.
If you ever get a Rottweiler, Bethany, you won't find a better animal, more loyal. You just don't want to mess with its head because you start putting stuff into its head about how stupid it is, and it'll brood on that.
All right, Bethany, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Austin Amarca, he's got a in contention with a DA up in Kern County where his dogs, one a Rottweiler, the other a pit bull, bit two separate people. He says the animals were being mistreated by being laughed at by these neighborhood kids, by being called names. In one instance, his brother-in-law was playing fetch with a Rottweiler, which is not a fetch-type dog, and he said the dog was being mistreated because that's not what they do. So the dog bit that guy, too. He's got to get rid of the animals, but he thinks his rights are being violated as a dog owner. 1-800-449-8686. Man, dogs, something everybody knows one time or another in their life. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And coming up next hour, Harvey Weierman's Senior Chat. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you ask Mommy to scoop you an extra helping of dumb tonight?
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
With me is a gentleman by the name of Austin Amarca in Mojave, California. Now, you have a pit bull and a Rottweiler, both of whom you've been told you got to get rid of because they bit a couple of people. And the difference of opinion here, sir, I guess, is that the dogs bit the people with no provocation. You say they bit them with provocation.
Yes, sir. They were being mistreated.
All right, but let me ask you something. Were these animals on a leash? How is it that...
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Well, how is it that this dog, the pit bull, bit the kid?
Yes.
How is it that it was able to bite that kid coming home from school?
Well, I have that dog tied to a tree on the south end of my property. So that animal is tied up to a tree, and Molly, the female, was in a fenced-in area where my brother-in-law was playing with her. So both times the animals were tethered up. Now the district attorney in Kern County has basically said I got to get rid of these. My brother-in-law told me I got to get rid of them because he owns the front house where I live. In so doing, he's liable to take income away from my family and I because we do derive income from the animals. And it's not something that people appreciate, but I have in the past made a fair amount of money with these dogs, and I'm talking about entering them in dog fights. And
oh man, that, you know, I'm telling you.
Well, whether or not you have you ever seen a dog fight, Mr. Hendrick, it's very interesting, and it's not unlike two prize fighters, and these animals are not injured at all. They're not.
Well, how does it one dog beat another dog in a dog fight?
Well, it's just like in a human fight, in a prize fight, it's the one that is able to overcome the other as fast as possible, and when it does, then you get the dog out of there. But I can tell you, not only is it something that I've made a few dollars at, it'll get your adrenaline going sky high, and I think that.
But look, dog fighting's illegal.
Certain kinds of dog fighting is illegal, but
well, what kind of dog fighting is illegal, and is the dog fighting your dogs are illegal?
As far as I know, yeah.
What kind of dog fighting is illegal?
I guess the dog, if a dog gets killed, but in our dog fighting, it's just we make sure the animal, okay, now he's got him pinned down, okay, that's it.
So if one dog throws another dog down?
That's it, that's the end of the fight, yeah. And they'll do that in a variety of ways. Dogs can do it by gripping, what they call gripping. They can do it by certain dog-style wrestling moves. There's
what do you mean dog-style wrestling?
Well, I know it sounds crazy, but there's a certain kind of moves that dogs have that they can pin each other.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Hold on for just a second, Kevin. I want to get over here to Martha. Hi, Martha. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I'm a little nervous, but I want to tell this gentleman it's about time for him to take responsibility and thank the Lord because nothing serious happened, but he can go to jail. He has to be aware of that.
Ma'am, I certainly don't want to go to jail, but have you ever been to a dog fight? They're very fascinating.
Well, they are, but we have to be responsible.
Well, you're right, but where do I go if my dogs have been disrespected and called names?
Well, he need to train his dog. Period.
Well, that's a good point. But Martha, and I would ask you too, Austin. How do you train an animal not to get offended when it gets laughed at?
Well, that's what I would ask Martha. I've got two beautiful animals, Sugar and Molly. Sugar's my pit bull, and Molly's my Rottweiler. But these kids come by last Thursday and started laughing and pointing at him.
Have you taken your dogs to a school already? Have they been
trained? And I asked the man at the dog training school down here in Lancaster, California. I went down there with Molly, and I said, now she gets very upset if it's assumed that she wants to fetch a stick, and she gets angry that people think she's stupid. What can you do for that? And the guy just looked at me funny.
Well, then I will tell you need a good lawyer because you will have problems in the future. You have to take responsibilities now.
Do you own dogs, ma'am?
Yes, I do, and I do love them.
Well, how do you keep your dogs from getting angry when someone points at them?
I try my best to keep them away from other humans that may act funny.
I understand.
Next to them, because I know I will be the responsible no matter what.
That's true, ma'am.
All right, Martha, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-800-449-8686. Kevin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, you say you took your dogs and had them trained?
No, sir. I tried to get them over to this guy down in Lancaster who works with Rottweilers and Pit Bulls.
Did you raise those dogs from pups?
No, I bought them from a friend of mine about 2 years ago.
Oh, you bought them from a friend, and you're fighting them?
Yeah. He was fighting them. I own
Pit Bulls. And I've raised them from a pup.
My dog
would never bite anybody unless it's commanded to bite somebody. And if you've got some dogs that have been biting kids and biting everybody and chasing people around because they throw a stick, they love to chase sticks
and
have fun.
Yes,
and
they do,
your dog,
but they don't want to be called stupid.
Your dogs are stupid. They're not as stupid as you are for keeping them dogs. You should have them put away.
You make
it pretty bad on people,
sir,
that have these type of dogs because you are fighting them. They are brought up mean, and you have no control over them.
I got total control, but nobody laughs at a pit bull.
You
know that.
You don't have any control over them dogs at all.
I wouldn't laugh at my pit bull any more than you would.
I can't. I got kids
right.
in the neighborhood that come over.
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Austin and Mark and his pit bulls. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-6686.
You fight your dogs if you want a lot of money.
I've won enough money. I mean, I got a new the last dog we fought. I got a new stud necklace for a stud dog collar for one of the dogs, and I was able to buy. My wife and I went down to the Chumash Casino down here and had a good weekend, and I was able to buy her a spa robe and this kind of thing. It's not, dogs don't get hurt. And that last guy I was talking to, he don't know what it is to actually own a fighting dog that can get, you know, offended when you, if you pardon my language, you know, P.O. it, piss it off, you know, if you laugh at it and stuff.
Well, that gentleman's still on the line. It's Kevin. I wanted to give him a fair shot here because we had to go to commercial break. Kevin, you still there?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
I can't believe that you are saying that I don't know what a dog fight is. There is no such thing as a good dog fight.
These dogs go into certain moves.
Dogs go, they, if you had a dog that is supposed to be the way it should be, especially a pit bull, I've got a pit bull, it knows when there's trouble coming, but it will not do anything unless I give it the command to do it.
Yeah, but
it will not attack anybody unless I give it the command to do it. Well, and if you're fighting them, you are some kind, that's what gives us pit bull owners a bad rep.
Oh, you guys are
like you.
A lot of you guys don't fight your dogs.
You.
You're upset because I got bragging rights in my
town.
I'm an idiot, huh?
Yes, you are an idiot.
I got bragging rights in my town.
And then you sit there and wonder why they bite people?
Well,
you're such an idiot. I can't believe that.
The dog didn't bite nobody. He put his jaws around that boy's leg because the kid was laughing at him and making him feel small.
You just got through saying it would have ripped his heart out or his
throat. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm telling you right now, you're an idiot for having them dogs even out to where people can get into them. You ought to take them out and shoot them because you've ruined them.
You know, you must hate animals.
This pisses me off.
I think
you ruined them.
I'd have sent a DA to your house because you must hate animals the way you're talking about them. Shoot them? I would rather shoot my own mother than shoot these dogs. You take
my dog bit somebody. If my dog bit somebody without the proper command, I'd take her out and I'd put her away.
I want to ask this question, Mr. Marka. I mean, the gentleman just said it. The dog would rip his heart out. At what point does a dog rip someone's heart out?
It's a Rottweiler. It's a pit bull, man. These dogs, you don't mess with them. You don't laugh at them. Treat them like they're stupid.
If you have a dog and you're laughing, I can't believe you. I've got kids running all over my neighborhood, and they laugh and they play and everything else. And that dog sits there and will not do a thing unless it is commanded to do it.
No, but
it would not attack anybody.
Are they laughing at the dog is what I'm saying.
So what?
Then the dog's feelings get hurt.
They throw sticks to the dog brings it back. It loves it.
So if your kids are bad, you take your kids out and shoot them? Because that's the craziest thing I ever
you
saw.
You are. You know what?
No, man, I've been to all kinds of...
You are such an idiot.
I'm $1,200 up, and I've got bragging rights in my...
You are such an idiot.
Tax-free.
I cannot believe that you would sit there and say that kind of
Doc, okay, we got to dump him. He just said the S-word. $1,200 up on dog fights.
Yes, sir, and I got bragging rights all over Mojave, and I think that...
Who do you have bragging rights with exactly, sir? The dog fight crowd?
No, not the dog. Everybody knows that who I am, and my pit bull and my Rottweiler, you don't touch them. And you sure don't laugh at them, and you don't look cross-eyed at them. Otherwise, they're sweet as hell.
Yeah, I'll bet, man. Here is Patrick on the Phil Henry Show. Patrick?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Well, I was calling because I was listening to the comments that this guy that's on the show was making. And I raise Rottweilers. I know a lot about Rottweilers.
Shut the door. Nothing. I'm telling my wife to shut the door because I can hear the kennel ring.
Well, it sounds to me like this guy has purposely brought these traits out in these dogs.
What are you talking about purposely? I don't hurt their feelings.
Anytime you tether a dog, you disassimilate it from being around humans.
What?
Yes.
What kind of talk is that?
That's talk from a responsible dog owner.
Well, let me ask you, are you one of these people that takes your dog to a dog psychiatrist, that kind of deal?
No, I don't do that. I don't need to do that.
Disassimilate it?
Yeah, exactly.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means
it's not used to being around people because you keep it in a yard.
Have you
did
ever?
You know, did you know that Rottweilers have a lung capacity problem, and that they're actually made to be? I mean, they're indoor dogs,
sir.
Because their lungs can't process the fluid and the moisture that's in the air. Did you know that,
sir? With
since
all
your, since you claim on being so intelligent and know so much about this breed of dog.
Sir, with all due respect, you're the kind of guy that dresses your dog up in sweaters and puts sunglasses on him, okay? I don't do that with my animals.
Exactly, and in my opinion, the thing about the dog biting somebody, if you didn't have it properly fenced, you're an irresponsible dog owner, and it's a shame that they're going to have to put these dogs down because you didn't take care of them. Now, take your $1,200 and your studded collar and sleep with that, okay?
Well,
That's something you've got to live with because you're irresponsible.
I'm proud of the fact that I took my wife down to the Chumash Indian Casino.
Oh, boy, you're proud of the fact that you have a gambling problem.
How's that a gambling problem?
That's something to be proud of. You're proud of the fact you got to go to the casino because you mistreated your dogs and they hurt other dogs in a dogfight. Man, you know, you're living it up.
Sir,
I want to be you.
Wait a second. Now
I want to be you.
Now, you're assuming some things that isn't true. Number one, I don't have no gambling problem. Number two, well, just because I go to a casino...
Do you bet on these dogfights?
Yeah. Well, how do
you bet on animals getting hurt?
They do not get hurt. They have certain dog moves.
Oh, dog moves. Dog moves. They're kung fu dogs. You have
no, sir, I didn't say that.
Man, you have a real problem. You really do. And this is really making me sick. I really have.
Sir, I'm sick. Have you ever seen a dog fight? So the guy hung up because he can't answer that question.
Well, he hung up because I think he's upset with the fact that you fight your animals and that these animals get hurt in these dog fights. The ones that I've seen.
Have you ever seen a dog fight?
Yeah, I have. Unfortunately, I have. And they're vicious. And the only thing more sadistic and disgusting than the animals fighting each other are the kinds of jackasses that these things bring out. A crowd of the biggest pack of redneck morons that I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I tell you what, this redneck moron, and I'm proud to be a redneck, and they're not as bad as a cat fight. Have you ever seen a cat fight?
What do you mean, have I ever seen a cat fight? Like in an alley?
Yeah.
Well, guys aren't doing that.
They're not. Have you ever seen a cock fight? They put razor blades on them, and cat fights... Man, they claw each other's faces.
Wait a second, man. A cat fights in a garbage can in an alley someplace.
Yeah, so what?
No human being set that up, man. Those are the cats just picking on each other.
What difference does it make?
When the dogs that are leashed and put in a yard will never get together with each other to fight. Number two, cats fight. That's what they do.
You don't make no sense.
I don't make any sense. Bob, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Bob?
Hello, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. I wanted to comment on a couple of the things the dog owner has said earlier in the show, mainly that about the stick. You said that you did not own these dogs originally. You did not raise them from pups.
No, I bought them off a friend of mine about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And you've also said that these dogs, they know when they're being disrespected and they know when they're being mistreated or mistreated.
Yes, sir.
And I was wondering about the stick. How do you know these dogs weren't mistreated in the past? I mean, the dogs know you. I mean, you've been raising them for quite a while, it seems.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, the guy I bought these from... who I don't want to mention his name because he's pretty fairly prominent. He owns a couple of speed shops in Mojave. He bought them off of this French gentleman who brought them over here from over there.
So these dogs have had a long past with many owners.
No, just this French guy who apparently was a millionaire or some kind of a situation where he had a large estate.
Yeah, but
were they like guard dogs for this guy?
They might have been guard dogs. Yeah.
These dogs don't know your brother-in-law. He picks up a stick. They see this stick raised and about to be thrown. They think they're about to get beaten. So what do they do?
Well, no, Molly didn't bite him with the first. He tossed the stick a couple times, and she went and got it. Then about the fourth time, she just looked at him like, do you think I'm a complete idiot? All I was born to do is fetch a stick? That's when she went at him.
So she saw...
I've never seen a dog attack because somebody is throwing a stick at them. It just seems... Unbelievable.
It wasn't because of that. It was because she felt she was being, like her intelligence wasn't being respected.
Another comment you made, when the dogs attacked the child.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned that the dog had clamped down on the leg. You know, you said that all you needed to do was whistle or snap your fingers and this dog would attack. You know,
yes, kid's still beating hard out of his chest, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, this you know, you say things like that, you learn, I mean, you have trained that dog to attack, haven't you? Because obviously this dog knows commands to kill a person. You know,
well, no, it's in the nature of a Rottweiler to want to take the heart right out of a man's chest.
Yeah, but does your dog pee on the carpet?
Only if I command it to.
Yeah, so you have trained the dog not to pee on the carpet.
I've trained the dog to, I'll tell you, if you want to know, I've trained that animal to urinate on carpeting if it's somebody's house I don't like, if it's someone's house I don't like.
But you have trained away its natural instinct.
You've trained it to urinate on carpeting of somebody's house you don't like?
Yes, sir.
You've trained away this dog's natural instinct, so...
Well, how do you know it's natural instinct?
It's trainable, so you can train it to command to kill and whatnot, you know?
Well, I didn't train him to kill.
Training a dog to attack is irresponsible.
I don't train him. The Rottweiler just knows that when a kid's laughing at him, the kid's basically saying, you're nothing but a garbage hound. And that dog has won me $1,200. I think the dog is a...
Dogs can learn. Dogs are very smart animals. I
yes,
agree.
Sir, absolutely.
A Labrador Retriever working as a CNI dog and a bloodhound, you know, sniffing out drugs are prime examples. And
right.
Rottweilers are very important. Very smart animals.
Yes.
I've known quite a few.
Well, then you see my point.
But a dog, it does not know when people are insulting it.
You hear all these dogs in the background.
A dog does not know when people are insulting it. It only knows by word association. If you have trained this dog, you have said these words, trash hound, so many times, you know, some kid comes up and it knows that this is a negative remark and that it's in trouble.
The kid's pointing and laughing. The dog knows when he's being pointed at. Listen to all these dogs I got out here. These are all friends of mine. It's pit bulls. I got two Rottweilers, got a couple of Weimaraners, some bird dogs out there. And they're all howling right now, and they want to get at one guy, me. They want to get to my throat. Because I went out there just moments ago, and I said, you're all nothing but a bunch of garbage sow mutts. They're pissed.
Those dogs I'm hearing right now?
Yes, sir.
They all want your throat.
Yeah, look at them all. And screw all of you.
It's amazing that you're allowed to keep your animals, sir.
Why? All you guys suck. See, they're pissed at me.
Because
you know...
All right.
It's amazing. You talk about how these fighting these animals is just, you know, great, but it's still a crime. You know, it's just not as bad of a crime if you don't have dogs kill each other.
Why don't you go put a sweater on your butt?
Look at Kevin, Bob, you've been...
Nothing, sir.
Bob, thank you very much for your call.
Have a good evening.
You too. What's with those dogs, seriously?
I did. I told her... Uh-oh. Molly's not on her chain. Hold on. Oh, my throat!
What happened? What happened? Molly got off her chain? Uh-oh. I think there's a throat that's missing from a neck out there in Mojave right now. 1-800-449-8686. Better double check that whole situation out there. The world famous Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman Senior Chat coming up. By the way, if you want to email Mr. Amarca, you can so at austinamarca@philhendryshow.com. AUSTINAMARCA at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We had Ted Bell on our show on Friday. He said Hollywood is angry about this Bush win. They're so angry in Hollywood, they're thinking about raising ticket prices and not televising the Academy Awards.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I would like to say this happens to be the most ridiculous conversation I've ever heard in my life.
Well, Carolyn, I work in the entertainment business.
I don't care whether you work, what you do. I'm 76
serious.
Years old, and I've lived long enough to know that people, movie stars, don't affect me one way or the other. And for you to say
you shut in?
That they would, no, I'm not a shut-in, and I don't watch the Academy Awards, and I don't even go to the movies
that's
anymore.
What I'm saying.
Because
shut-ins.
They're so crummy and crummy and filthy and dirty.
Shut-ins
people
watch the Academy
have no
Awards.
Effect on me whatsoever, and people like you talk about people being put away, they ought to have the guy with the butterfly net after you. You are ridiculous, and you are sad, and you're pathetic.
Is that right? Well,
and
I happen to
be
in touch.
Talking about, I wouldn't watch them for anything in the world, and I can talk just as much and just as loud.
I'd like to ask the host. May I speak?
You are ridiculous.
The host. I'm asking the host. May I speak?
Of course.
Well, she was saying she's going to talk over me.
The lady is making her point.
Oh, so you're taking her side?
I'm not taking anybody's side. I disagree with you, but go ahead.
Carolyn, if you know any shut-ins, you know that they live in a darkened room, and the only thing they have to look forward to is the Academy Awards. Now, I cited a study...
That is a shame, but I don't think that. I think there are people that go in and visit shut-ins, and I don't think the Academy Awards is what they're living by. I think you have such a grand sense of what you people are. You're nothing. You're getting paid. Wouldn't be anything if people didn't go to the movies and pay to see your movie.
Now I get it. You're
okay?
Jealous.
You wouldn't have a job at all if
now
they didn't
I get
do that.
It. Now I get
and
it.
And I don't
jealous.
Go do that because I don't like what you're putting out. I think you're putting out a bunch of trash. And I think you've got some talented people that are misusing their talent. And you've just got
right.
a big problem.
You
want
to go back to the days of the peg leg. That's your business.
And have a few sessions.
All right, Carolyn, it's Phil Henry. I got to jump in here and ask I got to ask Ted a question.
Okay.
You believe, Ted, that we're going to go back to the days of the peg leg?
Because if the Hollywood stars...
Oh, peg leg, you are so stupid that I can't even believe that you're saying that. And if those people will not give to children because I voted for George Bush, then, man, they got a problem. That's
absolutely.
All I can say. Are you giving it to? Why are you giving it to them? Are you giving it to them because of? I don't understand.
The Hollywood Academy. What they are simply looking for is some apology from the American people for making them for pissing them off.
Don't hold your breath till you get an apology from me. I voted for George Bush. I did it the first time. I'll do it again.
I'll tell you what, you sound
anything.
Like a typical Bush supporter. No sensitivity for the shut-ins.
And let me tell you one
and
other
John
thing.
Kerry would have done more for the shut-in than any...
Let me tell you
take
one
away
other
the
thing.
Academy Awards from the shut-ins. What's next? Take away
oh,
the cat food, the tissue box
There's
slippers.
100 things they can watch instead. They can watch some old movies on anything.
Carolyn, I got to break and take another caller.
Well, say goodbye to Alzheimer's research, Carolyn, and that's something you would care about.
Phil Henry Show. Comedy gold.
Yeah, but the best point that Ted made there... of all of the stupid points he was making, that all of the money that celebrities give to the development of prosthetics, if the celebrities get so angry that they stop contributing to charities, the peg leg makes a return. The kids are walking around in freaking peg leg feet. Clop, clop, clop. Pretty weird, Ted. Pretty sick and pretty weird, but funny. 1-800-449 and funny beats sick and weird. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we commence another week of another month of another year of the rest of our thing. We'll be right back. Harvey Weinman with Senior Chat coming up. Barry the Freak McMillan, the world's most conservative talk show host. And news that he overheard in a bar room from Craig Hardy on the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds.
What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Healthcare is what we're going to get into right off the bat here with Dean Wheeler, an alternative healthcare practitioner from Novato, California. I want to also mention to you later on in our program, Royce Wallace, autistic DJ, and we'll have another segment of Turkey Hunt with Bill Norgaard. Dean, tell me what you're most concerned about with the Bush administration currently in terms of health care.
Well, Phil, as a health professional, I'm concerned about a number of standpoints about the current administration, and that's why we sent out our emergency email to alternative health practitioners this past Monday, yesterday, about President Bush's, what we see are backdoor agreements with the tobacco companies. I just don't have any doubt whatsoever that he's profiting from some form of kickback.
Well, as I've been saying lately to everyone that offers some kind of theory, conspiracy, or otherwise, what's your evidence?
Well, I don't know what you mean by evidence, but...
Well, give me some tangible information based, you know, around...
Well, I was troubled along with a lot of Americans to see the picture of the young man smoking a cigarette plastered across thousands of newspapers the last few days. It was a blatant endorsement of a product that's proven to be injurious.
What picture are you talking about?
It was a soldier.
You mean the Marine in Fallujah? That was the shot of the L.A. Times took?
Well, I don't know at whose direction this picture was taken. This young man is in the employ of George Bush. He's smoking this cigarette, sending the message to thousands of young people that smoking is acceptable. And the only thing that keeps the photo from being more harmful is it is a soldier smoking, and American youth are, I think, in a constructive way, very anti-military right now. So they take that with a grain of salt. But nonetheless, the Bush administration is blatantly endorsing smoking.
You can't tie that Marine smoking a cigarette directly to George Bush.
Why not? Well, he's the commander-in-chief, Phil.
It's that soldier's choice. A man is an exhausted soldier. He wants to take a little bit of a smoke break.
Well, I guess you and I have an honest difference of opinion there, and there are millions of Americans, a full 48% of all voters, who know that the soldier smoking that cigarette is a Bush-sponsored endorsement of a multi-billion-dollar, multinational tobacco interest, and that's going to wind up killing our children by the millions.
Well, I don't think that's what that photo represents. What that photo represents is it's a candid shot of a soldier.
Well, let me finish my thought, if I could, Phil.
Go ahead.
We also see this week on a videotape that was aired by NBC, we see and we hear soldiers in another country shouting obscenities at each other, using the F word and this sort of thing, the language apparently endorsed by the Bush administration, because they have nothing to counter this.
You say he's endorsing smoking, obscenity.
Well, the American people, the Bush administration, you have American soldiers in a foreign country using obscenities, using language that we don't want our kids to use.
You're asking soldiers to stop smoking and using obscenity. It's not going to happen.
Look, well, Phil, let me explain something to you. There are millions of us who voted for John Kerry. There are millions of us who don't appreciate seeing American soldiers endorsing cigarettes and screaming obscenities. That's not what we voted for. We voted for John Kerry to get some accountability.
I'm going to ask you about you being in touch with the White House here in a second, Dean.
But it is about accountability, and for the president to endorse this multinationalist tobacco lobby that is taking the lives of millions, I think is wrong.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler with the American Alternative Health Practitioners Roundtable is talking with us about that photograph of that Marine. I forget his name, Chris, if you could look it up. Do you know what his name was, Dean?
I don't have any idea. It was a soldier, and he's using tobacco. And, we have worked in this country tirelessly to try to get the image of smoking out of our public, the public perception, the airwaves, advertising, and so on. And for the Bush administration to endorse it in a cavalier way, in my opinion, only seeks to cause further harm with an administration that's done nothing but harm people. And
all right, you've been in touch with the White House, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to find out, you talked with who?
Well, the American Alternative Healthcare Roundtable, we communicated to Gray Johnson. He works in the press department at the White House, and that every day that goes by, where President Bush doesn't disavow these soldiers smoking and saying F you to this and F you to that.
I'm finding his name is Lance Corporal James Blake Miller.
Well, I don't think it's important who he is. I think he is.
Well, he's just so you know, he was a guy that was in the picture.
But the point is, every day that goes by where President Bush doesn't disavow these soldiers smoking and saying F you to everyone, in that country, is another day we continue to shrink, Phil, in the eyes of the world, and another day that our children are exposed to negative habits and practices with the seeming approval of the Bush administration. And what we want to do, more than anything, Phil, is attempt to get the president to see clearly.
What would you like him to do? Do you want him to say that soldier should not have been smoking, or that he should not have had his picture taken?
Oh, I think it's clear. He's the commander-in-chief, and he is allowing soldiers in the United States government employ to be in a cavalier way using a product which has been deemed by our own Surgeon General to be an injurious product. And when you have soldiers smoking it, and their pictures are on the paper all over so that young people can see this, what you're saying is, well, we told you smoking was wrong, but really it's a good thing.
Well, you said that the American youth don't think very highly of the military.
Well, that is true.
When you say, you know, they're not going to look at a soldier necessarily as a great role model.
I know, but when it is inundated the way it is, when it's broadcast and it's printed every day, and I notice you even have it on your own website.
Well, we have it on our homepage because that was a pretty cool picture, that's all.
Well, when you say it was a cool picture, you're talking about the image of a smoker.
Look, there is such a thing as journalism. See,
so my point.
No, hold on. Robert Johnson, I've often said Robert Johnson was the blues singer and a songwriter in the 30s here in the United States who wrote a great many songs that have become classics. Now, Robert Johnson was photographed at a recording session in Chicago in the late 30s with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. This picture was taken and put on a stamp, and they airbrushed the cigarette out. To me, as a historian...
As well it should have been.
Well, but to me as a historian, it alters the historical record of Robert Johnson holding a guitar, smoking a cigarette, in a recording studio in Chicago in the 30s. This was the man, and if we embrace the man, don't we embrace all of the man?
Well, I don't think that you celebrate... is smoking. I don't know about this person that you're talking about. I'm just talking...
Well, he's an American musical icon.
Well, I'm talking about these soldiers already in Iraq for reasons that we all know are wrong, are those of us who voted for John Kerry. And now there's a cigarette in his mouth, and my children saw that in the newspaper the other day, and they said, Dad, that's going to make a lot of less intelligent people want to smoke. Fortunately for me, and perhaps for a lot of people listening, my children know right from wrong. But there are so many people in America who have are going to be influenced and they're going to smoke. And the use of obscenities, the way that I heard...
Well, if you're talking about that NBC tape that showed the soldier shooting the guy...
Well, yes, and they're yelling... in one instance, he's effing dead. He's effing faking it. And they're using the F. That's wrong, too. Because it sends a message of incivility and a public behavior that American soldiers, I don't think, in another country should have.
All right, Dean Wheeler is with us here. Our number 1-800-449-8686 about the negative impact of a picture that's been all over the country in the last couple of days of a United States Marine smoking a cigarette. He says that this is an endorsement by the Bush administration of smoking. And the reason? President Bush is receiving monies from the tobacco companies to have his soldiers out there smoking in full view of news photographers. Additionally, he has concerns about a videotape that surfaced. NBC shot it in Iraq, and you can clearly hear soldiers using obscenities, F words and S words and things like that. To Dean and to millions of people who voted for John Kerry, this is another example of a kind of brutish Bush administration. 1-800-449-8686. Should we ask our soldiers, should we limit our soldiers' ability to smoke, or should we ask them not to smoke? Should we prohibit cigarette supplies? And the use of obscenity, how do we keep that from happening? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Be lovely with me. Come on, be lovely.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On with me is Dean Wheeler, an alternative health care practitioner in Northern California, about the Marine who was photographed smoking a cigarette. It's been across the country. you are considering this as a endorsement of cigarette smoking.
Well, I'll go you one further, Phil. In a world, in a country where right now we are prohibiting the advertisement of cigarettes, the advertisement of tobacco products, as well as considering limiting the use of cigarettes or the image of cigarettes in films, to endorse it on the front page of newspapers across the country, simply says that the Bush administration has decided that the almighty dollar from the multinational, multi-billion dollar tobacco industry is too tempting to resist. And we think it's wrong. Senator Kerry, had he been elected,
Senator Kerry was a soldier, too.
I'm well aware of that.
He was in Vietnam.
But I don't see any pictures of Senator Kerry using tobacco. I have no reason to believe that he does. Some coffee. And so, to me, this is the beginning of a slippery slope down which our children are going to be murdered by the millions, by the tobacco industry, with the endorsement of President Bush.
Boy, you're saying a lot there, man. I don't even know where to begin to comment on that. Let me go to a phone call. Amy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Hi. I'm a Kerry supporter, and I just wanted to say that
yes.
I think that photo is a great photo, and I don't think that it would stop running if Kerry was president.
How can you call that a great photo? Well, first of all, we're illegally in Iraq.
I don't know. And let me just finish. It's a piece of journalism, and we have journalistic freedom here in America.
We're illegally in Iraq.
Soldiers are putting their lives on the line every day fighting this, quote, enemy. I mean, certainly they're going to smoke. They should be allowed to smoke. They should be allowed to swear as much as they want.
You realize that
this is an illegal war.
This
evidence of Bush supporting... I support the tobacco industry. This photo is not the evidence of that.
Amy, as a Kerry supporter, you recognize this war as illegal. How can you endorse or even look favorably upon an image from an illegal war endorsing a tobacco product?
Well, I don't think the photo endorses a tobacco product. The photo is just a photo of reality that happens to be going on.
The article
to do, and that's with a sugarcoat reality.
The article that accompanied it said he was smoking a Marlboro.
Well, this is worth millions to Marlboro. And I don't think those of us who voted for, Amy says she supported Kerry. I don't doubt what she's saying, but the words you're speaking right now are shocking.
I don't think they're shocking.
Well,
they are just realistic. And the reason I called in is I don't want liberals to be portrayed as these people who are going to think that soldiers shouldn't be smoking.
Well, they should not be. I don't think they should be smoking in light of the fact that they are looked upon as representatives of our...
Are you saying soldiers shouldn't smoke cigarettes?
I think it's time for the Surgeon General to do his job with regard to the military, yes.
You're not going to tell soldiers not to smoke. One of the first pictures I saw from Iraq...
Soldiers take orders, Mr. Henry. They do it. They don't.
One of the first pictures I saw from Iraq were a group of Marines holding up a sign saying, anybody got any smokes? These poor guys are getting shot at all day long. Can't you let them sit down and have a cigarette?
Well, and
exactly.
That, yeah, and then,
it's absurd to put that sort of... I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well,
that's about what
I doubt if you're a Kerry supporter.
All right, Amy, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Tom. Hi, Tom. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I don't know where this guy lives. He must live on Mars because he's not in touch with him. Be quiet, please.
I live in the United States of America.
Now, wait. I listen to you, now you listen to me.
I just want you to know I live in the same country you live.
I don't even care where you live. It seems like you live in Mars. Now, let me finish.
That's ridiculous. No one lives on Mars.
These soldiers are over there. They're in a war. They don't want to be there. We don't want them to be there, but they have to be there to protect us. They're doing what they can. They get shot at. They get killed. Their buddies get killed. To have a cigarette doesn't mean that Bush is endorsing him. There was a journalist that took that picture, not Bush. Bush didn't tell him to smoke. And if this is what Kerry would have been like, we would have had a socialistic state.
Well,
and boy,
Tom,
am I glad Kerry wasn't elected.
Because
we would be in a lot of trouble. And soldiers would
smoke.
Be told when to polish your shoes and when not to. Everybody would be doing it if you...
What's with the phones tonight? These cell phones are... Tommy, there? All right, I guess we got some cell service problem. You were going to say...
Well, that gentleman is saying, in other words, if someone dies, then I should be allowed to start smoking again. People who have given up the cigarette habit and have struggled with giving up the cigarette habit for a great many years, and then a loved one dies, what that man just said, which seems incomprehensible, is that after they have, you've had the funeral, or perhaps even if you're having the wake, why don't you just go ahead and light a weed up? And that is incomprehensible. And those soldiers over there are behaving, I think, in a way that makes all American soldiers, as well as Americans, look like crude, tobacco-sucking, obscenity-spewing imbeciles.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Crude, tobacco-sucking, obscenity-spewing imbeciles. You really believe that?
Well, look at our world image. John Kerry cared about our world image. Bush doesn't.
Let's go over to Julie. Julie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, this is Julie in Tennessee, and I had to literally pull over my car so I would not wreck listening to this guy. I am laughing out loud. I have anything this funny in my life.
Really?
I have never called a talk show before.
That's very interesting, Julie.
You seem to be really interested in the fact that the picture was in a lot of the media. Well, do you realize
that
if Bush could control the media, they would not be the liberal people that they are.
Liberal? I don't
liberal
think Rush
media.
Limbaugh is liberal. I don't think Sean Hannity... I don't know where you're getting this liberal media.
You want our president to tell our soldiers not to smoke?
Yes.
But you want our president to tell gays that they can marry. So it's okay to tell them they can't do this, but if they're gay and they want to marry another man, they can do that.
We are simply trying to protect the children. We're trying to protect children.
Well,
if you think that it's all right for children to smoke cigarettes, then fine, but we don't think.
It would take a lot to convince me that you would say that that picture of that strong, wonderful, willing to fight for my freedom soldier with a cigarette in his hand.
Well, you are
convinced my 5-year-old to go buy a pack of cigarettes and start smoking. That cracks me up. That is
individual.
I can't even have this conversation with someone that is on heroin or something.
All right, hold on. What do you want to say?
This woman, I think, is indicative of what happened in the country over the last 48 hours. There are a lot of women who've fallen in love with an image. And why don't you have the honesty to say, there's something sensual going on for you.
I've never even seen the picture. This is the first I've heard of it.
How do you know he's strong?
Excuse me?
Well, how do you know what the picture looks like then?
I don't know what the picture looks like. I think
you are reacting in a sensual, sexual way. I'm trying to protect children, and you're bringing sex into this conversation.
I've never seen
wrong.
The picture.
You are
men
trying to bring sex into it.
Soldiers are strong, wonderful protectors.
Don't
of our
bring
freedom.
Sex into a discussion about children. Thank you.
You're a freak. You're the freak.
All right, Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back. That soldier smoking a cigarette, is that going to get kids to smoke cigarettes?
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dean Wheeler joins me. He's an alternative health practitioner from Novato, California. What does that mean, alternative health care practitioner?
We are holistic. We are believe in chiropractic, kinesiology, some of the alternative health care.
Are you camping? Because I heard you say something about coffee, and I can hear a campfire.
Yes, we are. We're at the base of Mount Diablo in the East Bay, and we're enjoying a evening, beautiful California fall evening. Most of what I do, Phil, is to endorse good health. And when you see an American soldier who is already causing so much pain and suffering in Iraq,
I'm not going to have you talking that way about.
Well, as a Bush supporter, I didn't think you would. But
let's forget about what he's doing over there, okay? I'm not going to have the soldiers politically positioned here. You don't like him smoking a cigarette?
No, I don't like him smoking a cigarette.
Well, I had a call off the air. If John Kerry had been elected president, would our soldiers be smoking right now?
No, they would not.
They would not.
No, John Kerry would have sent a very positive message to our children that we care about you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bud, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
You got me on there now?
Yes, I do, bud. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. I'm 81 years old.
Hello, bud. This is Dean.
I fought in combat in two wars.
Oh, that's too bad.
I had the opportunity to command different positions. There were a lot of men with me.
Yes, sir.
About the time I told them they couldn't smoke a cigarette, they would tell me where to go in a hurry.
Well,
and
I
it wouldn't
you?
Be because anybody who was president of the United States.
Well, do you think
another thing, these pseudo-intellectuals...
they were doing?
Beg your pardon?
This is Dean, but do you think they smoked because they felt guilty about killing people?
What?
Well, what about carrying a gun? There's a lot of people here in the United States think people ought not to own firearms. Well, you want to do, take all those boys' firearms away from them and tell them to fight the war with their fists?
Hey, bud, this is Phil Henry. Can you hold on, bud? You're a war veteran, a combat veteran, sir?
Yes, sir.
I want to bring on a gentleman in Alhambra to join you. Is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir. This is Lloyd Bonafide, sir.
And you are a combat veteran, sir?
Yes, sir. I was in the United States Navy at Chosin Reservoir in Korea. We pulled the Marines out of there. And this guy you got on right now, I just heard what the other, is the other gentleman there, Bud?
Ask this Navy guy if he's up there, ever up to Choto Island, way up above the parallel.
Oh, hey, you and I ate some of the...
Okay, you got to watch your language. You can't say that word.
I'm sorry. I was just saying, he and I ate some of the same dirt together. Listen, this guy you got on right now, let me tell you what. If somebody would have looked at me and said, hey, put that cigarette out, buddy, I would have put it out in one of his eyeballs.
Well, Mr. Henry, do you endorse this attitude?
Do I endorse what attitude?
The idea that if I were a commander in the military or something, and I told one of these two gentlemen to put their...
You've never been anywhere. You haven't been in any combat.
You don't
know what it is.
Well, sir, I don't want to go to a foreign country and kill...
You wouldn't go anywhere and shoot at anybody.
Hey, let me tell you something. If they sent you over there to do a job and you didn't, I'd shoot you right in the back as you were taken off over the hill with the medical supplies.
You think so? You'd have been dead before you got off one shot.
I just think that smoking cigarettes is very unhealthy.
Have you been in the service?
I beg your pardon, sir?
Have you ever been in the military service?
Sir, I would not join the military for philosophical reasons. I think that it's...
Were you ever in the military service, yes or no?
Why don't you answer the man's question?
No, the answer is no.
That's right. That's what I thought. You've never had anybody shooting at you.
Sir, there's enough combat right here in America. Uncle Sham has made
you've
us...
You've never had anyone shooting at you.
You know what? I'll shoot at you I right now.
You've never had anyone fire a weapon at you.
Well, so? So what difference does it make?
You don't know what it is to be fired at.
Well, what does that mean?
You're a 19-year-old kid over there. He's scared to death, and he wants to smoke a cigarette, and you're
going
to try to blame that on the President of the United States.
I was diagnosed
with... You're nothing but a pseudo-intellectual with a very weak mind.
You know what we used to do to guys like you?
You couldn't do anything to me, buddy.
This is Lloyd. I'm not this queer that we're...
Watch the Q word.
I beg your pardon, sir. I just want to say that a guy like this, we used to take him around back, and when nobody was looking, get out a big jar of Crisco, bend him over...
All right, I don't want to...
Can you hear this?
That just proves exactly what I was thinking
of this guy. There is enough...
He's
comment.
Nothing but one of these pseudo-intellectuals, one of these professional students...
Are you a smoker?
...who doesn't know his right hand from his left hand.
He's
a carry man... And he's mad because they lost the election. He's trying to say that because a boy is over there fighting a war to save his rear end for him, he's
going to
take everything and charge it against Bush.
Mr. Henry,
it's ridiculous. I'm not going to let him say a word.
Well,
I'm
going
to talk right over the top of him.
Bud, hold on.
The more he talks, the more I'm going to talk.
I understand, Bud, but I'm
not going
to
let anybody hear anything he has
to say.
So, you know, you're going
to
get a job. A Crisco and do something to me.
No, I wouldn't
ain't
do
no
it
way
to you,
you'd ever put anything on me, boy.
About you. I was
because
talking
I'd
about
have
the other
you
guy.
So you quick, you wouldn't
you
know what happened
me?
To you.
Why would I want to do
you're
it to you?
Nothing
I was
but
talking
just
about a
blowhard.
Hold on. Whoa.
These guys are talking about Crisco and each other.
Well, you're not getting away with it.
Well, you're
not trying to oil me up or
something? Why would you guys
oil me up?
I wasn't
trying to oil you up, you bastard. I'm talking
about that queer
man.
Hold on, everybody, hold on.
And all those guys did the thing to me.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
You're not going to get a word in.
Bud,
top of me.
But
no
it's
way.
Phil. Hold on. But it's
just
Phil.
I'll talk that on top of you as long as you want to talk.
But
you're talking to a real vet now, boy.
Bet.
You're not talking to one of these young punks. I had people under my command, and if they wanted to smoke a cigarette, I didn't care for you.
I told the guy. Oh, he's not there.
Hey, Bud, are you there? Where's Bud? It's too freaky for words, man. I can't deal with Bud and Dean. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, but I feel violated. I think that what you've had here are two men who are war veterans who have been colored by their experience. War can be very hateful. And certainly those two men, and that one man talked about, you know, violating me from behind.
He's a little strange. That was a little strange comment.
Yes.
All right. I got to move on. You know what I think? Here is Veronica. Go ahead.
I can't stop laughing. That was just insane.
Well,
okay.
You've got two soldiers who are talking about violating me.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, may I please ask Lloyd, is that his name?
Mr. Wheeler, Dean Wheeler.
Okay, Dean.
Yes.
Can I please ask you while I make my comments that you not interrupt me?
I don't want to interrupt you, but when you say something that's wrong, I have to point it out.
Let her just say what she has to say, then you guys can debate it.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. No one can get a word in edgewise with you. It's like you have to control everything, which is, I guess, what you're proposing that our leadership in this country do, which last I checked, we have freedom here. But here's my comment. First of all,
you didn't make your comment. You made a big preamble, and then now you're doing your comment.
May I?
And that's wrong.
Let her finish. Let the lady finish.
You're an idiot, and you're rude, and you don't let anybody talk except for yourself.
I've had Republicans flick cigarette butts at me on the
filibuster. Anyway, the comment that I want to make is this:
that wounds me very
deeply. Who do you expect to fight for our country? Because you're obviously too much a coward to. I know I don't want to fight for this country. It's probably one of the most difficult things that could ever happen. If I don't believe in smoking for me, and for I think it's a horrible health thing.
And look, they'd blow smoke right in your face.
Comment,
if you were over
if
there,
why did you so rudely interrupt me?
They'd be smoking
in
your face.
Finish what I want to say.
Will you let her finish?
God.
I want to just agree with the lady.
Anyway,
what are you doing back?
I fought my way off a hold.
Hold on. Go ahead, Veronica.
Okay. Here, my point is this. He just doesn't seem to understand that these guys are terrified every day fighting for us. We're not out there on the front lines doing it. I'm not saying that smoking a cigarette is for your health. I know that President Bush doesn't believe that way.
Right.
But the thing I do know is that if they need to unwind.
Veronica, hold on. We got to take a commercial break. You'll be right after we take this break, okay? So just hold the line. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. Are we clear, Bud?
Yeah.
Can I talk to is Dean there? Dean?
Yes, Mr. Hendry.
Let the people finish because we're having some complaints.
Well, you've got a lady on the phone here who is obviously a Kerry supporter, but she won't admit it.
I don't know. She didn't say anything about that. All right, so what I'm just asking you to do is to let her talk.
Well, she says she doesn't like to smoke, and I don't know why she would lie like that. You know, the soldiers are spreading Bush's evil secondhand smoke along with shooting at innocent Iraqis. And this that you have.
What's the language when we get back on the air? All right, hold on.
Oh, my gosh.
30 seconds.
We're back on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, Veronica. You're on with Dean Wheeler.
Okay. First of all, I don't believe that throwing a name at me is a very nice...
I didn't call you a name.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
I heard it.
When did I call you a name?
You just did it off the air. In any case,
I did not call her.
Well, did we not have her on hold?
Yeah, I was here. I could hear her.
I didn't say it.
Well, she could hear you call her a bitch.
I did not say that. I did not say that.
Okay,
yes, you did.
Somebody impersonating you said it. Anyway, what I want to say is this: if you believe that we don't live you must think we live in a dictatorship.
Will you please get to the point? I have a lot that I want to say.
Oh, my God.
And you're just blabbering on and on.
And evidently you think that you are the... Oh, my gosh. Is this
Will you grow up and let the lady finish?
Well, she's not saying anything. And I have points I want to make.
Do you have?
For our 10-point plan
you...
about the smoking and everything. And those soldiers, yes, they should be told not to smoke. And why are they using four-letter words?
They're in combat, dude.
Well, listen to you. You can't even talk to somebody like me, a caller, without calling me a name.
I didn't call you a name. I called...
You did.
No, I didn't.
You said I was a blank.
How do you know that?
Because she heard
listening.
You.
I was here with
Those
you
Those soldiers
guys.
Are spreading Bush's evil smoke. And
what is it with
okay.
Bush?
You know what, Mr.
You know.
Bush? You know what, President Bush? You are crazy. Because, and that's obvious that you're crazy. Because
Why
you would never have the courage to put your rear end on that front line and fight for our country.
Put some hickory in it.
Believe me, you wouldn't be able to just smoke a cigarette. You'd be doing everything there is in life. In fact, I believe that you are, something happened to you. You're brain damaged, dude. You need to, like, get a life.
You know, you sound just like a minor bird chirping away. Chirp, 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 little
you
birdie.
You sound like a little,
Let's put
a
her
little
in a
cowardly
pantyweight. Did you call me? Oh, you're calling
you're
me queer.
Whining,
now you're calling
whining.
Me queer. Are you calling me queer?
She didn't use
whiner.
That word.
I'm calling you a whiner.
Okay, let's put a cage over your... Put, over
I,
your
I,
let's
I
put a blanket over...
I don't want any wine with my dinner, thank you so
not,
much.
Oh, isn't that funny? Isn't that original? Isn't that... Oh, God, I hate you. I really hate you.
You hate
I hate,
me?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I hate you because of what the soldiers are doing to Iraqis and smoking
that's
and everything.
So,
and,
hey, maybe they'll kill the Iraqis with secondhand smoke.
Let's
put a blanket over your cage and say night-night, little birdie.
Can I just tell you something? You're so lucky we don't live in a dictatorship, or you would not have a chance to be venting yourself on everyone out there.
Veronica, can I
You're
say something?
You're absolutely paranoid.
Paranoid?
You're
there are millions of people who don't like smoking.
Do you guys say more?
You know, sir, if I wasn't such a peaceful man, I'd kick your teeth in for the things you...
Oh, my gosh, I can't
Did you hear that?
I would, but I don't believe... Veronica, how's Archie? How's Archie?
I love that, honey.
Oh,
it's
man.
Fun. Anyways,
Dean, why don't you get back to your campfire, huh?
Bring it on.
I'd kick your...
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
I would.
You're a violent man. You're...
Tell you what, email me. You can email me at Dean Wheeler.
Thank God you're not fighting for the country.
Someone please shut her up. Please, God, shut her up.
You're a violent man.
Oh, God, shut her up. Please, God. Oh, I hate it. Please email me at DeanWheeler@PhilHenryShow.com. I'd be happy to have a sensible email with you. But, oh, God, I hate you so much
now. Oh, no, I wouldn't waste my breath on you, dear.
DeanWheeler. I hate you.
All right, okay.
Pass me some Sanka. Give me some of that smoked trout. I hate. Oh, I hate. I'm full of hate.
Woo! Dean Wheeler and his alternative... You ain't going to get those cats to not smoke over in Iraq, dude. Freaking soldiers. You got a guy shooting at you. At least you give the guy a cigarette and let him, I don't know, say an F word every now and again. Did you hear the NBC, the NBC tape? Now they're going to be busting on this guy because, you know, all those bodies over there, a lot of them are booby-trapped. In other words, what the Iraqis will do, the insurgents, not the I shouldn't call them Iraqis because they're Syrians. They're Chechnyans. They're Iranians. There's very few of them that are actually Iraqi. Do you understand it? They're considered, these insurgents are considered foreigners by the Iraqis, and they're scared to death of them. They're foreigners. They're not even, it's not a homegrown insurgency. That's why this is not Vietnam. That's why this is a winnable war, because these are not even Iraqis that are fighting our guys. They are Syrians and Iranians and Chechnyans and Saudis. They're Jordanians. Anyway, these dudes will rig a booby trap to a dead body so that when a Marine walks over to turn the body over to check it, it'll blow up. And they have had weapons underneath their sheets under flags of surrender. Can you imagine that, a flag of surrender? What makes these guys, the poor Marines, how can you assume those guys are going to observe any conduct of any, you know, rule of war? These guys come out with a flag of surrender, and then they pull out the what do you want?
Why don't you put that guy back on? He was making more sense. That queer mate that was talking about the smoking.
Who's this?
This is Lloyd Bonafide. And that guy, Bud, thinks that I was talking about him. What a freak.
I know. Hold, just get out of here. How does that guy keep getting on my phone line? 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, Laura Bush wouldn't say crap if she had a mouthful of it.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up, we have Royce Wallace, autistic DJ, turkey hunt with Bill Norgaard. We have Jim Randolfi from the California Chamber of Commerce and Don Chow, ancient Chinese for beginners. Bud, come here for a minute.
What?
Come here.
What?
Don't say what. Come here.
What?
I want you to stick around. I want you to give me a driver's test thing.
Why?
Well, if you have to know, it's because I'm getting my driver's license renewed, and I need to take the California driver's test. I want you to give it to me. Give me the thing.
Has this got something to do with Crisco?
Listen, smart.
Don't hurt me.
It ain't got nothing to do with Crisco. I want you to read me questions out of this California driver handbook so I can get my license, you sick freak.
Every time you talk to me, it's a disrespect.
That's because you're asking me, what? Just come here and do what I tell you to do. By the way, you want to email Dean Wheeler? It's deanwheeler@philhendryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. For something very, very wrong. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You describe yourself as conservative.
I'm very conservative, Phil. Politically, I supported President Bush in the re-election, and I was certainly gratified to see him win, yeah.
And yet, now, where you work, and you are the owner and the CEO of this grocery chain, Mr. Green, you have a lot of Kerry supporters there, or you did, huh?
Yeah, that's to be expected. My employees are, they have an... They have every right to have their political opinion. I can tell you that I think what has happened since the election is a little surprising, but I suppose it shouldn't be. A lot of these people that supported Kerry are angry, and they don't have a sense of humor about it.
Because you've been making jokes with your employees?
Yeah, I've come in. After the election, I made some cracks to them, and... one of the people who works for me is Sue Armstrong, who you're familiar with, Phil, because of her complaint. I made three different jokes to her, and she got upset about it.
Well, she filed a hostile work, it's like a hostile work environment complaint, saying that there were instances where your jokes were cruel and personal.
But that's what I'm saying. These people that supported Senator Kerry have got no sense of humor at all. Their man lost the election, and our guy, George Bush, won. And now that the shoe's on the other foot, because they were laying it on the president pretty good.
I would agree with that.
During the campaign, and now they can't take a joke. And her complaint, Phil, is based on three incidences, if I could clarify that.
Go ahead.
One was on November the 3rd, the day after the election. I came by her check stand. She's one of the checkers in our store in Buena Park. And I came by her check stand, I said, looks like the country's safe for another 4 years. The other was on this past Thursday when we were in our lunchroom, and I remarked to her that under Senator Kerry, I said breast jobs are probably going to be free for all of his Hollywood friends, and that was a joke that I was trying to make. And the other was this past Friday when she said to me she was offended by President Bush's election since it would mean diminishing equal rights for women, and I told her, well, that she had a good job, so what was she worried about?
And well, what... Here's the thing.
But if I could, I just want to interject one thing.
Go ahead.
This woman is an employee and also someone that I have admired. And my question is this. Last summer, I asked her if she wanted to go get a drink, which was just me trying to be friendly. And I asked her about three times. out for a drink, and she declined me all three times, which I guess is her right, but how come she gets to shoot me down for a drink, and when I ask her out, but I can't take a few good-natured shots? And I think what's happening here is the heart and the soul of these Kerry people. No sense of humor, but they get to, in the case of this lady Armstrong, when I ask her out for a drink, she's turning me down.
Are you taking these shots because you're angry with her for not going out with you, or are they simply politically and philosophically motivated, you know?
Well, Phil...
And the breast job comment that Kerry, if he got elected, would have provided free breast jobs for all the Hollywood friends. That's what you say you said.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Well, she claims in the complaint that you said she was angry Kerry didn't get elected because now she can't get a free breast job.
I can tell you to the very best of my recollection, I didn't say that. But the larger issue here is the inability of these Kerry people to be able to laugh at themselves and realize they're wrong. They got beat fair and square, and they're crying about it. I came in after the election. I gave my Kerry employees some shots. How come I can't do that, even though when I asked her out for a drink, you know, and all I was looking for was maybe some dinner for her to be as good to me as I've been to her?
All right, well, you got yourself a hostile work environment complaint here, and your basic theory here is, not theory, your belief is that because she's a Kerry supporter, she's got no sense of humor and you can't take some shots.
No, she's gonna file a complaint against me, and meanwhile, I ask her for a lousy drink and she says no to me. And so these are the things that I think the American people are seeing very clearly. These people that supported Kerry, you know, they're a little thin-skinned.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. My guest is Robert Green, CEO of Fraser Foods, who has a dealing right now with a hostile work environment complaint from an employee who says that his jokes or his comments about Kerry are creating a hostile work environment, and you say she's a Kerry supporter, she just has thin skin.
Oh, without question.
But some of these comments made by you, she's claiming were very personal. The breast job thing.
I do not have any recollection, Phil. But
let's just ask this question. She's not bound to go out with you because she works for you.
No, I understand that. But that means if she doesn't go out with me, I can't make a few comments about her supporting Kerry.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Had the woman consented, if she had consented to going out with you, would you then today not be giving her a hard time about Kerry losing, making jokes?
Well, it's not about Kerry winning or losing, Mr. Hendry. I'm just saying, how come she says, I asked her out for a lousy drink and she shoots me down, but I don't get to make the Kerry comments?
It could have been the nature of the comments. You claimed that on November the 3rd, you came into the store and said to her, well, it looks like the country's safe for another 4 years.
That's correct.
All right. She says in her complaint that you said it looks like the country's safe for another 4 years from single women and their abortions.
Phil, I think she's taking that completely out of context.
Well, what did you say?
To the very best of my recollection, I did not say what you said. I said I'm asking you and the media to look at the larger picture of what's going on. The people that supported Kerry can't even laugh at themselves. They're getting bent out of shape in the usual ways, and even though we won, we can't have any fun with them. And on top of that, and the point that I made to my attorney, all right, she's free not to go out and have a lousy drink, is all I asked her to do.
She doesn't want to go out with you.
No, I understand that, but how come I can't make comments about Kerry, losing?
Can I ask you this? Because this is in the complaint, too, and it's a little offensive.
Go right ahead, sir. I mean, if it's offensive, I can assure you I didn't say it.
She claims that you called Kerry a douche.
No, sir, I did not. To the best of my recollection, I didn't.
So were these jokes, or were they just mean-spirited? I mean, that's...
Well, no, they were jokes. I don't know why you're assuming they're mean-spirited, only because she has the complaint. You have the complaint in front of you, and it is the likelihood in our society that women get the benefit of the doubt, and any time they complain about a man...
But you are tying it to... You are tying in these jokes to this idea that she didn't go out with you last summer.
No, that's... If I'm making that connection, I'm sorry.
Well, that's what it sounds like. In other words, it sounds to me like you're saying, hey, how come I can't rag on Kerry? I asked her out for a drink and she said no.
Well, if it sounds like I'm tying it in, I'm simply asking a rhetorical question. She's a Kerry supporter, and because she's a Kerry supporter, she's thin-skinned. She can't take the fact that he lost, and she doesn't like a little good-natured ribbing. So I come in and I say that this Gary, you know, it looks like your guy, Kerry, lost. You know, he's a real, I didn't call him the word you said. I think I said he was a scumbag or something like that. And she goes running off to the California Labor Board and files a hostile work environment complaint. And yet I can't ask her out for a drink. And she says no. And she goes out with guys, and I'm the CEO of the company. And that is not to say she has to go out with me because I'm the CEO of the company. But she goes out with bag boys. I've seen her with two or three of the guys that load in the back of the store. See what I'm saying?
But you're saying to me, what you're saying to me sounds like a revenge thing, though. You see?
Absolutely not, Phil.
Well, if you say, how come she, you know, she can't take these Kerry jokes, and yet I got to listen to her tell me no when I ask her out for a drink, it sounds like you're...
No, not at all. I don't care whether she goes out with me, you know, or not. Although I can't understand why she wouldn't go out with me, and she's going out with the guy that drives the, one of the guys that drives a bread truck, who is here once a week. She's gone out with him. So I made the comment about Kerry, because I'm very happy President Bush won, and I made a couple of jokes, and these Kerry supporters...
Are all of your employees that supported Kerry this, as you call it, thin-skinned?
Well, you know, you can see they cringe a little bit when I make the comment. They can't laugh at themselves. But this Sue, the lady who brought the complaint, which I never in a million years would have, you know, she gets upset because I said that Kerry was a piece of, you know, I compared him to a piece of garbage or something like that. I'm joking around.
She says the word you used was douche.
I do. To the best of my recollection, I didn't. I said I think the guy was a bag of something. I forget what. But, and yet, there she is, and I asked her for the drink. Forget it.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Henry Show. Let's go over to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. You're with Robert Green of Fraser Foods.
Yes, my point is that I think Mr. Green is just trying to get back at this woman because she refused to have drinks with him. He obviously didn't get the point or didn't take the hint when she said no the first time and didn't take the hint when she said no the second time. He had to embarrass himself and ask her out a third time. But,
why do you say I'm trying to get back at her? I was just making jokes about her guy, Kerry, who lost because they all year long, it's all Kerry's this and Kerry's that. Kerry's going to win. And as soon as he loses, I made a couple of jokes.
Well, you called him a scumbag. Is that funny?
To me, it's a riot. It's hysterical.
Well, I disagree. I mean, that's just childish. If you're a CEO of this big company, you know...
How come she gets to say no? All I wanted was a lousy
because
drink.
Because that's a woman's right. You have every right to say no. If somebody said, you know, gee, why don't... How about you come to my house for dinner? You have the right to say no.
Why would I say no to that?
Maybe you don't like the person.
Well, if it's if for instance, the shoe was on the other foot, there was a very powerful female who was, had money.
What does power have to do with it?
Well, I would be very flattered.
It's a different thing, man. The whole socioeconomic status of women is still much different from men's, Mr. Green.
Well, you know, for a guy that voted for Bush, Mr. Henry, you sound like a Kerry supporter. And
I'm a Democrat, but this got nothing to do with this. I think the point that the caller is making is it sounds like a revenge thing.
That's not revenge at all. It's how come she goes out with a guy that drives a bread truck? What am I? See what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I don't think she's trying. Maybe she's afraid that if this drink thing doesn't work out, maybe you're trying to pursue a relationship that you're going to retaliate by, you know, making her job or making her time at work uncomfortable.
Well,
if my boss asked me out, I would say no in a heartbeat. I'm happily married, but honestly, I mean, isn't it kind of rule you don't date in the workplace?
Why would you go out with a guy? Why would you go out with someone if you're married?
Well, obviously, I just said I wouldn't happily married.
Of course not. So how does that apply to me?
Maybe she thought the guy in the bread truck was better looking. Who knows? But you're obviously this personal.
That's fine. That's fine. She can do that. And yet I can't come into the office and say Kerry is going to be giving out free boob jobs and stuff like that.
I mean, I just think that if you're the CEO of a powerful company,
right.
Now I'm just an ER nurse. I've been an ER nurse for several years.
I said
doesn't everybody know that you really don't discuss politics in the workplace?
In my workplace, ma'am, in our lunchroom where the young people that work for me are allowed to talk about what they want, I think this is what makes a happy workplace. And I said, so why don't you go get your free boob job? And she got upset.
So you did refer to her as getting a free breast job if Kerry got elected.
I said something about how you're sorry Kerry didn't get elected because that means you don't get your free, because Kerry would give out free boob jobs to all of his Hollywood friends.
That's funny because a few minutes ago you were denying it.
No, ma'am, I was not.
I'm sorry.
Well, you
said you didn't recall it.
I don't recall.
Funny how they changed their story. If my boss asked me out, I would say no.
All right.
And you know what? You're just trying to get back at her.
Thank you very much. I'm going to take a break, Jennifer. Thank you for your call. Robert Green is with me, the CEO of Fraser Foods, who has a hostile work environment complaint filed against him today. Mr. Green's a Bush supporter. One of his employees, I imagine this may be happening all over America, one of his employees, a Kerry supporter, says that he's made some crass and crude and harassing jokes. Mr. Green says he's simply celebrating President Bush's win, and why are these Kerry supporters so thin-skinned? 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Whenever you think of someone with hair, think of me, Bob Green.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Robert Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods out of Buena Park, California. You also manage the store there, right?
Yes, I do, Phil.
So you're the Buena Park manager, and you have a hostile work environment. You work right now because I'm hearing a lot of, work.
Oh, yeah, we're in the stock room, actually at just the back of the loading dock where we're unloading for the day. But I want to say that I have never been more insulted by the fact that I voted for Bush, and I'm getting persecuted for that. And
well, you say now she's persecuting you. The complaint she files is that you made some crass jokes after Bush won, of a personal nature, and you say you should be allowed to make those because you asked her out for a couple of drinks and she wouldn't go.
I asked her out for a lousy drink. Back in the summer, she said no. Now I'm getting persecuted because I supported Bush and she didn't. And as she's saying, I got a hostile work environment. So two times I'm getting persecuted. One time because I vote for Bush, and another time because, you know, she's just personally angry. That's all. I mean, because I'm making jokes. And she can't take it. So,
and you're the CEO of this company making these comments on the air. Does your attorney know that you're on the air?
My attorney is fully capable and confident that this case has no merit whatsoever. I ought to be allowed to rub it in a little bit about how stupid Kerry supporters are. And also, I should be allowed to have a little venting of my frustrations because I asked her for a lousy drink and she...
And she said no, and you're frustrated, and you ought to be allowed to vent your frustrations?
I'm not sexually harassing her, other than I called Kerry a scumbag, and that's it.
And you also said that it's too bad Kerry didn't win, and you would have got your free breast job to this woman.
That's not sexual harassment. She talks, she's not a well-developed woman. It was something that I would think she'd be interested in having, that's all.
In other words, because she doesn't have the most impressive chest, you're assuming she'd want a breast job.
And that's just a joke. It was not intended as anything more.
I gotta tell you something, I'm not a lawyer, but it sounds like you're in trouble.
With the greatest respect to you, Mr. Henry, I do have a very good lawyer.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. David, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Phil. I just want to let you know, Bob, just wanted to make a comment to you. I really think that you're using the result of this election to be able to sneak in these comments to this woman that you are feeling resentful against for not,
You're wrong.
Well, I might be wrong, but, it really makes
wrong,
no sense to me.
If you're wrong, then what's the point?
That a person in your position
is going to say the things that you're saying. One,
what did I say?
Person.
What did I say?
Two,
I some jokes?
You're
going to
go on the air and you're going to let people know around the country that you're saying these things.
Hey, what did I didn't say anything wrong.
I didn't say anything wrong.
You
have a case.
Wait, are you telling me I should be embarrassed for making anti-Kerry jokes?
No. You know what? I think you're totally entitled to your opinion about John Kerry.
There you go.
As is everybody. But what you're not entitled to is an opinion about a coworker's physical attributes. That's where you cross the line, and that's what's going to get you in trouble.
Wait a minute. All I said was to this lady, I would assume because you don't have the most impressive chest, Kerry would be your man because he'd probably give free boob jobs.
See, that's crass and crude.
Yeah, right over the line.
And nobody is making the comment yet about how she shoots me down for a lousy drink. See what I'm saying?
It's not grounds for you
not
can't
even
go
in the
to
same
the,
universe.
You can't go to the California Labor Board. Thank you very much, David. You can't go to the California Labor Board and complain that I asked a female employee out for a drink and she turned me down.
No, and I wouldn't go to the California Labor Board and complain that somebody made an anti-Kerry joke. But she's doing that, and yet I can't do that. If she goes to the California Labor Board and says I made some comment about her, she's got a small, little, you know, BB billiard ball chest or whatever. And
you didn't say that, did you?
I didn't say why. No, sir, I did not. But if she does that, why can't I say I asked her for a lousy drink, one drink, and then we're out of there? She said no.
Man, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Greene has made some anti-Kerry comments to his employees. He thinks that they can't take it. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Mr. Robert Greene.
But you're taking it out of context.
All right, hold on. Mr. Robert Greene, the CEO of Fraser Foods. Now, you got an employee is upset with you.
I understand that. But what you said, Mr. Henry, I think is taken out of context, and I wanted to clarify that.
Well, wait a minute. The comment was made by you, admittedly by you, John Kerry, if he'd been elected president, would provide free breast jobs for all of his Hollywood friends.
Exactly.
All right, but commenting to this employee, this Ms. Armstrong, that her chest was like two BBs on a billiard table. Didn't you say that?
No. You want to focus, and your callers want to focus, on a comment taken out of context. I simply said that Kerry was that kind of a superficial guy that he, and I've got nothing against him personally, I'm sure he's a fine man, but I don't think he would have done anything more than pay back his Hollywood friends, and I use the term breast jobs. And
well, where did this BBs on a billiard table come in?
The comment BBs on a billiard table was in reference to, it was a joking reference to Ms. Armstrong. And
well, right there's your problem.
Well, it's not a problem, Mr. Henry. The problem is that people that supported John Kerry cannot laugh at themselves, can't just suck it up and say we lost. They got to file lawsuits, sexual harassment, all the liberal agenda that these people live and breathe by. And
Mr. Greene, with all the greatest of respect, any place, anywhere, any time, an employer says a woman's chest is like a couple of billiards on a BB table, or billiards on a BBs on a billiard table, it's gonna be a big problem.
I'd ask this lady out. We had a personal relationship. I'd ask her out for a lousy drink. What she's elected to do is take this to the California Labor Board and turn it into a big thing. And let me tell you why. Because her guy, Kerry, got stomped by Bush, and they can't take it.
You really believe that?
That's exactly what I believe, without question. And my attorney believes it, too.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Robert Greene, CEO of Fraser Foods. Diana, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Greene, I am a supporter of President Bush, and I'm in New York State, a blue state.
Yes, ma'am.
I agree with you that these Kerry supporters are often lacking a sense of humor.
Well, you see my point.
Yes, but in my opinion, I think this harassment charge has a lot of merit to it. As the CEO of a company, I just think it's very improper of you to be asking out employees, regardless of whatever personal relationship that you have with her.
I
whether it's right or wrong, in this day and age, you just can't do these things anymore.
All right.
Fine. So I asked her out. She turned me down. So what's wrong with me making a couple of anti-Kerry jokes?
Anytime you bring breasts into the workplace, you know, they're going to nail you to the wall.
Well,
whether you like it or not,
well,
it's just not appropriate in this day and age.
I've got to get this line out. Yeah. She brought her breasts into the workplace. That's a joke.
Oh, God. You know
isn't
what?
Isn't that great? Well, you know, the problem is calling them BBs on a billiard table.
Yeah, look, this is way out of proportion.
Unfortunately, I think that your perspective is a little skewed and that you're probably going to lose unless you start changing your story and stop talking about this, taking her out for a drink.
What am I saying that's wrong?
You're mixing apples and oranges. You cannot talk about Kerry comments and asking her out for a drink in the same story because it's going to be construed as you having a grudge, which is what a lot of the callers have been saying. Whether you like it or not, whether it's right or wrong, the laws these days say that as a CEO, a person in power, you really shouldn't be asking these people out. I'm a professional, independent woman. I was in a similar situation with my own boss a few weeks ago talking. He was bashing President Bush, and I didn't feel comfortable disagreeing with him. It wasn't harassment, but it was very uncomfortable,
that
and
sucks.
He didn't mention my breasts at all.
I think
that you need to stop and put yourself in the context of 2004.
Diane, do you know how many successful couples there are today met in the workplace? People, where would you rather people go meet? In bar rooms?
May
in
I
a
ask
workplace,
your age,
we,
sir?
I'm sorry?
May I ask your age?
Yes, I'm 47.
And how old is she?
21.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
What do you
end
mean,
of story.
What do you mean, there you go,
as
end of story?
I'm 36, okay?
What's that
at
got to 21 do with
years old, this person, I don't care who she is.
She's not a kid. She's a legal adult.
You know what? At 21, you don't think you're a kid.
And then at 21,
really,
you call them
on it, and you were.
BB's on a billiard table. I'm sure at that age, she's got all the self-confidence in the world.
Right. When I was 21 years old, I worked for probably...
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Diana. Here is Melissa on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Melissa.
Oh, hey.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to make a comment. I think that...
I feel like I'm on the Dr. Phil McGraw show with all of this, because I wanted to talk politics. That's what I thought this would be about.
But you've talked...
Can I just make a comment?
Go ahead, Melissa.
I just wanted to say that your comment of, you know, the Kerry supporters being... You know, super thin-skinned, they can't take anything. Well, it seems as though you can't take anything because you're taking this that she turned you down three times, very personal, and you can't get into your head that she just doesn't want to go out with you.
I know she doesn't
want to
go out with me.
And all the comments that you're saying are basically just to get back at her.
I know she doesn't want to go out with me.
The same thing. So
I know she doesn't want to go out with me.
She doesn't like you. She'd rather go out with the bread guy if she makes $5 an hour.
You're not telling me anything that I don't already know. What? I didn't need your phone call. I already know she doesn't want
to
go out with me.
You keep bringing it up, though.
What do I keep bringing it up?
It has nothing to do with your case. The fact that she didn't go out with you does not have anything to do with your case, and you keep bringing it up as if
that's something that's personal to you.
Exactly what the other caller said. It's so personal
to
you.
So why is she taking it personally?
That she wouldn't go out with you, and why would she?
I made comments about Kerry. Why is she taking that personally?
Because of the way you said them and the comments, the context in which you said them.
What did I say?
Using breath. Saying them in a way that is if she would want to have to go get a boo job. I mean, come on. You know.
Oh, come on. Are you trying to tell me that in this day and age we can't make a leisurely comment about a woman's, you know?
Yeah, no, you can't. I'm sorry.
A leisurely?
You better being
it's a
CEO of a company.
Thing.
You should respect your employees more not to say stuff like that.
Ma'am, I thought we lived in the 21st century where employees get to know each other over an 8-hour day, over the course of months and years. And
she doesn't want to get to know you. She doesn't even want to have a drink with you.
You can't make a leisurely, relaxing comment about the size of a woman's breasts.
You called them BBs on a billiard table.
Exactly.
Well,
I mean, what if she made a comment about something that you had?
Like what?
Well, just use your imagination.
You know, I don't
think that would be appropriate for her to say comments like that?
Well, how is she
going to
make a comment on that? I mean, you can't. You know,
do you think that would if other people were around? Because apparently when you said your comment, there were other people around. And
that's the other
what
thing.
If she made a comment like that? How would you feel about yourself?
She was probably embarrassed.
First of all, she can't comment on the size of what this lady's saying because men don't dress to accentuate that. Women
maybe
dress.
Maybe you do. Or not.
Well, I'll tell you this much. A relaxing,
throw-off comment like, hey, you know, you're really small-chested. Why does that, in this day and age...
You got to be kidding.
I know, exactly. I'm in awe here.
What do you mean you're in awe? In this day and age, why is it that... And yet, I say...
Are you married?
I'm separated.
Okay.
How long have you been separated for?
My wife and I separated last year.
So you're not divorced?
No. Oh, I guess that... What, does that make that a mortal sin, too? See, what I'm trying
to... No, but I just think it falls along the pattern of that you maybe just don't understand women, and you don't get it. And comments like that aren't going to get you anywhere.
Well, I if I made a mistake, I certainly... But I really believe it's because all of these... Are you a supporter of Carrie?
I think you hurt her feelings.
About.
I don't... It doesn't really matter who I
Melissa,
support, it's really not about
yeah.
the election.
Thank you, Melissa, for your call. I think a lot of callers are saying this isn't about the election.
Well, then why is it she files this complaint 4 days after George Bush shoves his fist right up Kerry's...
All right, can we cut that, please? Because I don't want that on the air.
I'm sorry.
I don't want those kinds of comments on the air. 1-800-449-8686. Lonnie, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Greene. Go ahead.
Hi. I really think that because I've experienced situations like that where I've had managers stare at me or I've had bosses ask me out, and I really don't think that that's appropriate for a professional situation where in a business office or anything like that. And I think that you're just basically taking it out on her that she just did not want to go out with you.
Well,
and she should not have to go out with you.
Oh, no. Yeah, I totally agree. Lonnie, may I ask how old you are?
I'm 19.
All right, see, your experience is probably, what, like a Blockbuster or something, or a Subway? Well,
entirely irrelevant, actually.
Well, I don't know what experience you're speaking of. I mean, if your boss at the Blockbuster may be the same age as you. You see what I'm saying?
That's actually entirely irrelevant because this is about you, and
Starbucks,
I've actually had a lot of jobs since I was 14.
All right, but if you're working at a Starbucks, your boss is, what, like 6 months older than you? You can't really see that as...
Well, wait. Just hold on. Let's stick to what... You're the boss. She's an employee. You ask her out. I'm not of the mind that it's a bad thing for coworkers to ask each other out. But when she's repeatedly said no...
Well, you give her a chance to think about it. Look, sometimes a woman says no, she wants to see if you'll, you know, keep asking.
No.
And another thing is... A leisurely comment about...
Yeah, BBs on a billiard table.
No, I don't get it.
No, yeah, if anybody ever said that to me, even if I was sexually attracted to that person, that would hurt my feelings.
Well, but, see, she was the one voting for Kerry thinking he was going to give out free boot jobs.
That is so not true. Is
yeah.
she one of his Hollywood friends? Why would she even consider herself connected to Kerry at all?
Well,
and believe me, I am a Bush supporter fully. I voted for him.
Well, then you know what I mean. I did too. When you know that Kerry and all of his Hollywood pals, it's all about are they going to get free nose jobs and stuff.
What?
All of his Hollywood
what?
Friends have plenty of money to get that stuff done.
Yeah,
that is not what it's about at all.
No, you're right. But all of the people that don't have money...
Oh, look at Mr. Green. We're going to go round and round with the breast jobs and the nose jobs. But the fact is... It is a hurtful thing to say to a woman, something like that, especially when you're not a friend of hers. And
well, I don't know if that's the case.
You're not a friend of hers, dude. She doesn't want to go out with you. You're her boss. Thank you, Laura, Lonnie, for your comment.
Lonnie,
thank you.
Can I just ask you this, Mr. Green? Where do you work?
I currently work at Macy's.
All right, so you're working at the perfume counter, and your boss...
All right.
I actually work in the science shop, so I work a permanent job with lots of older people.
Science shop?
I make sure all of the tickets and the signs are correct for sales.
Oh. Do you have... all right, never mind.
All right. Thank you very much, Lonnie. Continued success.
Sure.
Thank you. And, Ann, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I would just like to say that this man, he's just totally offensive. I mean, breasts do not... They are not... That is totally inappropriate to do in a workplace.
What is that?
Whether she's got large breasts, small breasts, it's none of your business.
Yeah, but how come
she is employed by you to do a job?
Absolutely.
Not to be ogled over or commented on the size of her chest.
Well, absolutely.
And I think you should shut up. As your lawyer, I'm amazed, he is not faulty.
I'm very...
told you to keep your mouth shut. such.
Yeah.
Because you are causing your own case to go right down the
Well, Ann, look, no lawyer tells me to shut up. That's no lawyer that pays that I'm paying the bills for tells me to shut up. That's number one.
Well,
number
then he's doing you a disservice because you are clearly sexually harassing that woman.
Wait a minute. How come
and
I
you
can't
are
make...
clearly sexually harassing her, and she definitely has a cause. So you better start packing up some of your money because you're going to be paying a big settlement.
I can't make a very just relaxed comment.
That hey, you will not make a relaxed comment about somebody's breast size.
Yeah, a real that, relaxed comment.
That is totally inappropriate. It is totally inappropriate.
Mr. Green, in this complaint, she mentions the fact that you wear a hairpiece.
That's right, and no one makes a joke about that because it's a $15,000 hair system. It's not a hairpiece.
And yet you can make a comment about her breasts.
I wear a hair system. She called it a toupee. You see the difference, Ann?
I don't care what you call this. You have no right making references to her breasts, and that is not a leisurely comment.
Well, I
you
find it
totally
very relaxing. You don't think it's
I
relaxing.
I cannot believe you are a CEO of a company, and you have not had any training at all what is appropriate.
A hair system, not a toupee, a hair system. That's not
I don't care about your hair.
And what is...
I care about the fact that you have no right making reference to somebody's chest.
Yes, body. Mr. Green, do you understand?
That is not a leisurely comment at
so,
all.
You wouldn't... So you don't appreciate a man very relaxed, just laying back in the lunchroom, almost slouching in his chair, saying, hey, Ann, you know, you could use maybe some tissue paper up top.
And you know what I would say to you?
What's that?
You are a jerk, and I am going to sue your butt.
Are you saying that a woman is supposed to...
You have no right making my work environment possible.
If I was relaxed in the chair when I said it.
You don't pay me to look at my chest.
All right, look, but the point here is, you're thinking because you're slouching in a chair, it's okay to make the comment.
Like, I don't care.
Like, you don't care, but she does, and that's the difference.
All right, Mr. Henry, I want to say this. As a Bush supporter, you really disappoint me. And if you were an employee of mine, Ann, let me ask you this, Ann. Which fruit
Trust
could
me,
I
would not be an employee
All right.
of yours.
Which fruit could I compare your breast to?
All right, I'm getting rid of him. And
yeah,
thank you for,
I think you really need to.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate your input.
Okay,
1-800-449-868. What does he want?
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
I just want to tell everybody we got pork chops this week, and we got a fantastic center-cut loin chop for only...
1-800-449-8686. Mr. Robert Green, we'll follow this sexual harassment case as it develops. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up next hour, we have Austin Amarca and his pit bulls. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pull your head out of your ass. Plug into the world. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Austin Amarca lives in Mojave, California. He's got a problem with his dogs. We'll talk with him at the top of the hour on the Phil Henry Show or next hour. These sexual harassment suits, here's one here. Same-sex harassment claims rising. Now, these are same-sex harassment claims where a guy harasses a guy, a woman harasses a woman. Here's a guy named Steve Bartlestein, WABC New York. He's an anchor there. He was accused of harassing a co-worker. They settled this baby out of court, and everything looks good. He's back on the air, right? See, people are people. Like gay marriage. By the way, I had a very interesting conversation with my son. My son, Nick, he said this. He says, look, marriage is nobody's business. It ain't the government's business. Marriage is the religious thing. You see what I'm saying? In other words, what we do is called a civil union. When we do it in a church, it's called a marriage. If you're going in front of a justice of the peace, technically you're just having the law legally sanction it. So that's a civil union, right? The government shouldn't have anything to say about marriage, whether it's a gay person's or a straight person's. You can't say to me, if I'm gay, and I go to a church, the Gay Church of America, let's say I go there. Now, you just said to me, I can have a civil union with another guy, right? Isn't that what the government says? Suppose I go to the gay church and they marry us. Are you telling me I'm not married? Are you, in other words, I have all the same rights as a married guy because of the, as a straight couple because of the civil union law, correct? And yet it's that word you say I can't use? Well, guess what? People are going to use it anyway. If they go to the Gay Church of America or the Lesbian Pentecostal Assembly and they say you're married, what are you going to tell them? No? See, this is when the government gets involved in religion, man. Marriage is a religious term. You ain't allowed to use it if you're the government. Get the hell out of it. And the president knows that. That's why he wants to amend the Constitution, because it's unconstitutional right now to keep gay people from being, quote, married. It's unconstitutional. That's why the need for a constitutional amendment is because it's unconstitutional. See? Anyway, gay folks getting married, straight folks getting married. I guess we can continue talking about it or not. I may get bored with the whole topic.
Yeah, I am. I'm already.
Thanks, bud, you jackass. We'll be right back with Austin DeMarco on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.